I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. And we're going to read a passage of scripture that you've probably read before called the parable of the sowers. Now, Jesus calls it the parable of the sowers because he's given them a parable or a metaphor, if you please, about farming, because everyone in that land was a farmer. Now, he was speaking a relevant word to them because each of them understood the concept of farming. So I'm going to tell the same story tonight. I'm going to tell the same parable, but I don't know how many farmers we have in the room, but I figured that everybody sits in a chair. So I thought I'm just going to tell the same story that Jesus did, but in a different kind of relevancy. So we're going to break down the same passages, but in a way that you can understand it, because he was telling it in a way that they could understand it in this parable of the sowers. So tonight, I'm going to give you the parable of the chairs. Now, Jesus only interprets two parables in the entire Bible. And it's very important that you understand this, because he says in Mark 14 and 13, he said to the disciples, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Now, what he's saying there is, I'm giving you the keys in the two parables I'm interpreting. I'm giving you the keys to unlocking the rest of the parables. So that's what my book, Unlocking the Prophecy Code, is all about. So if you understand these two parables and you write down all the codes, for instance, a bird represents the devil, the field represents people, a seed represents the Bible. So if you write down all these codes that Jesus gives you, and then you read the other parables, now you can understand the spiritual truth, because they're all metaphors that are unlocking a spiritual truth. Now, I don't have time to get into this, but some of you have heard me explain the parable of the Good Samaritan is about the coming of the Lord. And most people just see that as being nice to their neighbor parable, but it has nothing to do with that. That's what parables are. They're stories that are wrapping up a spiritual truth. So in this parable of the chairs, or in Jesus' parable of the sowers, he is teaching the body of Christ a lesson about the kind of people you are going to encounter when you try to present the gospel to them. So we're going to start with the book of Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. Let's look at this together. He gives you four types of soil. I'm going to give you four types of situations or chairs. Listen, he starts out in verse 3. "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." And that's all he tells you about the wayside. "Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." That's all he tells you. Now, every farmer understands these concepts because they deal with them every day. "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it." Now, notice when the seed fell, it looked like good ground, but something happened. Thorns grew around them and choked out the plant, and it yielded no crop. Verse 8 says, "But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, if he would have left us there, everyone would have gone out and planted wheat or barley, because all they would have understood is that Jesus is telling you a secret about planting. But then Jesus translates it for them. He says, as he gives the revelation of the parable, beginning in verse 14, "The sower sows the word." That's you and I. That's anyone who gives the word away. The sower sows the word. So there's your first clue that you can mark. Who sows the word? The word then would be the seed. "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So the birds that are eating the seed is Satan taking away the word. So the first thing he says, the first people that you will encounter with the word have no word in them. You can't treat them like a Christian. You can't talk to them like a Christian. You can't convict them like a Christian because they have no word in them. There's a whole different way of reaching people that have no Christian background. There's a whole different way of reaching people that have no word in them. You can't just thump the Bible at them and point your finger at them and say, God's going to get you for that. It doesn't work. That goes over their head, and it makes them angry. And then they classify Christians as this prudish crew that goes around judging people with a moral compass that they don't seem to have.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
All right, so then he goes on. So that's the wayside. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in them, and they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. These are people trying to be a Christian without roots. These are people that want to be a Christian, but they don't last long. They go back into the world. They fall back into their sins because they don't have enough depth in the word to keep them strong when persecution comes. And how many of you know persecution will come, right? Let's look at verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And then, so understand this, they hear the word. They love the word. It looks like it's taking. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then he says in verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. All right, let's break this down. Let's start with the wayside. Now, notice the wayside that I've marked for us has no chair because there's no word. And as a matter of fact, it is a crime scene because there's a thief that steals the word every time they hear it. So this first person that you're trying to reach with the gospel is a person who's had a thief come into their life, take away their joy, steal their life, steal their dignity, steal their future, trying to steal. That's why the Bible says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So the first person that you're encountering is this wayside group that they have had someone trying to kill their dreams, steal their future, and destroy their lives. And that can happen in all kinds of ways. That can happen through all kinds of brokenness. But here's the thing you have to remember. If you want to reach this person with the gospel, you cannot reach them the same way you talk to a person that has the word. I sat at the table with my uncle, with one of my uncles a few weeks ago. He's in his 80s. I wanted to visit him, and I was on a trip, and I was near his house, and I sat at the table with him. He organically said at least 20 very offensive curse words at the table. Now, he knows I'm a preacher, and I could have said, wait a minute, you're not talking like that around me, bless his holy name. And I thought, you know what, I'm never going to win him that way. The guy's in his 80s. If somebody's going to win him, it's got to be soon. And I'm never going to win him that way. And I just loved on him and bought his breakfast and hugged him and tried to be a light in a place of darkness. And sometimes that is the part of witnessing that we forget. When someone has no word in them, we can't treat them the way you would somebody that has some kind of Christian backdrop in their life. So Satan comes immediately to try to kill, steal, and destroy. Here's the problem with this group. This group is lost, and they don't know it. And the only thing that brings them in is the most powerful force in the universe and the hardest assignment God will ever give you. You think God has given you a hard assignment? You wait till God assigns this to you. The hardest assignment you will ever have to live is agape love. It's the hardest one. Agape love is not friendship love. It's love in the face of resistance. It is unconditional love. So it's easy if somebody's friendly to befriend them. It's not phileo love, which is a Greek word that just means a friendly. That's where, like the word Philadelphia, the land of brothers. No, it's not that kind of friendship love. Agape love is the kind that makes you spread your arms and they nail your hands to a cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Agape love is the kind of love that gives up everything and expects nothing in return. There will be seasons in your life where you are called upon by the Lord to love people who do not have the capacity to love you back. And God is looking for a special group of people in this house tonight, and for the thousands watching online, God is looking for a group of people that say, Lord, if you will let my heart love like that, I will go after people that no one else wants. I will love on the people that everyone else is throwing away and pushing away. I will love on them and bring them into the body of Christ.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.